from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is to attend ASEAN-India Summit in New Delhi. Indonesia and the USA improve energy cooperation. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to attend ASEAN-India Summit, which will be held in New Delhi this month. During the summit, President Joko Widodo will take part in two sessions to discuss international issues. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Thursday, January 18, that the retreat session will focus on maritime cooperation. In addition, the President will also take part in a plenary session which will discuss growing issues in the region as well as international issues. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to arrive in India on January 25th and then take part in the ASEAN-India Summit. On January 26, he will attend a function marking India Republic Day. He will visit India as part of his 5 South Asian Nation tour, which will also take him to Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Afghanistan. Indonesian President Joko Widodo asked the financial industry to keep improving the national economy in a bid to achieve the desired progress. At the Financial Service Industry Annual Meeting 2018 in Jakarta on Thursday, he affirmed that Indonesia's fiscal and monetary conditions are good. Foreign exchange reserves increases to $130 billion. Ease of business rating also increases. The rupiah exchange rate is stable and the index increases. However, President Joko Widodo reminded that the growth of bank credit is still below target. Bank lending growth was targeted at 10 to 12% in 2017, but credit realization was around 8%. The Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Marine Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, leaves the use of cantrang or seine net policy to the Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujiastuti. Luhut Panjaitan in Madiunis, Java, Thursday, January 18, 2018, said he encouraged the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries to formulate the size of the fishing nets, cantrang, which may operate including for large ships. Luhut Panjaitan wants the ministry to be more selective in determining the net specification as well as the areas where seine net is allowed. Insert suara dari Menteri Luhut tentang cantrang. Liputannya Pradipta. We cannot use all seine nets. We cannot operate the nets excessively because they can damage the coral and the base. So maybe the net can only be used in a certain depth. We will make the allowing areas, then how many months, how many years it can be operated. So there is a time lag when the fish grows again. Luhut Binsar Panjaitan stated, although the government again allows the use of seine net or cantrang, not all nets can be operated. Moreover, Luhut Panjaitan does not want any fishermen who modify vessels of 80 gross tonnage or GT capacity but claim to have 30 GT. According to Luhut Panjaitan, the government is committed to preserving fish and increasing fish production target in parallel. Previously, the Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujiastuti, explained that seine net or cantrang use is only allowed in Java Sea. One of consideration is because the fishermen population using cantrang are mostly in the north coast of Java. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Government of Indonesia, through the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, ESDM, is cooperating with the United States to increase energy cooperation. A meeting of both countries took place in Jakarta on Thursday and attended by representatives of more than 50 American and Indonesian companies in the energy sector. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan, in his written address, said that the meeting is important for U.S. business people of the energy sector to get a direct view from the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources on the energy development in the future. He also said that related to the determination of tariffs in the selling process of electricity, the most important point is that the electricity price can be bought by the public. American Ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph R. Donovan, also shares the same opinion that his presence, along with 36 companies and agencies from America, is to discuss the same issue. Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Archandra Tahar affirmed that this activity will open a variety of cooperation opportunities in the form of funding, innovation, technology transfer, and knowledge. From the discussions, it is hoped that the electrification ratio will increase from with the affordable price for the public. A researcher of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, or LIPI, Siti Zuhro, said that in the 2018 regional head elections, the political parties appeared to have difficulties in building coalitions and carrying candidates. In a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday, January 18, she assessed that the coalition built by political parties in the 2018 regional elections is not formulated and measurable. She also views that there is no parallel coalition among national, provincial, and district or municipality level. An immeasurable coalition of political parties can lead to a fragile coalition. To that end, he hopes that in the 2019 general election, the political parties can coalesce with parties with the same ideology. Insert didabing suara dari peneliti LIPI, Siti Zuhro.
Nah, ini kita harapkan ke depan memang mau tidak mau partai-partai itu lebih genuine dalam membangun koalisi dan dengan
We hope that in the future the political parties will be more genuine in building coalitions. By building a more genuine coalition, it will inevitably make improvements in its party and perform a more serious, transparent and accountable cadre process. Siti Zuhro hopes that a formatted and measurable coalition will produce qualified political parties. Indonesia must have a political party capable of showing its support base, so only qualified political parties can go into the realm of elections and the election of regional heads. The newly declared parties, according to her, need to fix the administrative qualifications and the quality of the cadres. Siti Zuhro further explained that in June, simultaneous regional head elections will be held, and the preparation of candidacy for presidential election 2019 August will also be held. Therefore, the contestation will be fierce, especially in the three regions that are regarded as a granary of voting or referring to the tendency of voter direction to political parties. The areas are West Java, Central Java, and East Java. Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti said that sinking illegal foreign ships that carry out fishing activities in Indonesian waters is a form of law enforcement that is stipulated in the national law. Minister Susi Pujiastuti, in a press conference in Jakarta Thursday, January 18, said law enforcement should not stop. She views that this is in line with the main task of the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries to uphold Indonesian sovereignty. Previously, the fisheries sector observer, Abdul Halim, asked Minister Susi to no longer focus on sinking the ship, but rather to improve the economy as a whole. And the last item, BeTourist is a tour operator community that works with Wonderful Indonesia and cooperates with the Ministry of Tourism to attract foreign tourists coming to Indonesia. This was conveyed by General Manager of BeTourist, Rehan Patiwail, at the Indonesia Heritage Tour event in Kota Tua, West Jakarta, January 18.
Sebenarnya cukup erat kerjanya karena kita carry along Wonderful Indonesia.
Actually, the work is quite because we carry along Wonderful Indonesia. We are well known as Wonderful Indonesia, and there is the wonder of Indonesia. We work with Wonderful Indonesia because we are a community-based inbound tour operator. So we are a special tour operator for inbound focus, so we only serve foreigners. That's why I invite specifically foreigners who live here, maybe even they are tourists also joining us, the real tourists, so they do not stay here, he just stay a few days. In addition to cooperating with the Ministry of Tourism, BeTourist also establishes cooperation with SoutheastAsia.com to develop its products so that it can be easily accessed by foreign tourists who want to come to Asia or Indonesia. And listeners, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is to attend ASEAN-India Summit in New Delhi. Indonesia and the USA improve energy cooperation. And listeners, that was the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Crisis Recurs in Tunisia. At the end of 2010, a wet-up revolution in the form of demonstration and protest for the change of the government, whether peacefully or not, struck some of the Middle East and African countries. The occurrence, known as the Arab Spring, originated in Tunisia precisely on December 17, 2010. A few days later, entering the year 2011, the Tunisian government, led by Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, collapsed. Tunisia also experienced the most democratic transition and political changes compared to other Arab countries, which were then also affected by Arab Spring. At the time, the ruling regime was overthrown without bloodshed and civil war. But what happened in Tunisia last week, when commemorating the fall of the Ben Ali regime 7 years ago, was a mass demonstration against price and tax increases. Before this demonstration, a protester was killed on Monday, January 8. The unrest prompted the government to send troops to several areas in Tunisia and arrested nearly 800 people, including opposition leaders. The act of protest occurred when the Tunisian government announced and provided a New Year gift in the form of fuel price adjustment and some consumer goods starting January 1, 2018. In addition, some types of taxes and tariffs such as car taxes, telephone rates, and internet also rose. Following the demonstration, the Tunisian government also offered a social reform scheme that has been submitted to the parliament, in the form of medical care reform, housing and assistance to the poor. So far, the government programs have not been able to overcome unemployment and poverty, including unable to restore the tourism industry after being hit by terror attacks to foreign tourists 3 years ago. Tunisian Prime Minister Yosef Sahed is trying to convince his citizens that 2018 is the last year of trouble in the country. But it seems that the Tunisian opposition is dissatisfied with the programs offered and urged to stage rally against the government. The escalating violent act in Tunisia that has previously experienced a peaceful transition is alarming. The Tunisian government and the opposition should negotiate a peaceful solution. Solving the problem with the Tunisian traditions such as the toppling of Ben Ali regime 7 years ago should be carried out in a bid to avoid violence such as bloodshed and that may pose casualties. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment
which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event on January 19, 1946, about the establishment of International Military Tribunal for Far East. After the World War II in 1945, Declaration of Potsdam decided that all war criminals and people who have held cruelty to prisoners of Allied war would be punished. Related to the thing, the tribunal, or commonly called Tokyo Tribunal, was established on January 19, 1946 to prosecute Japanese officials who were considered to do war crime during the World War II in Asia Pacific. Military Tribunal Session held more than 2 years, prosecuting 28 Japanese officials, and 7 of them were executed, including former Prime Minister of Japan, Hideki Tojo. The next event was in 1966. Indira Gandhi was installed as the 3rd Indian Prime Minister. Indira Gandhi began her political career as private assistant of her father, Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru. After Nehru died, Indira Gandhi became Minister of Indian Information and Broadcasting under the government of Prime Minister Lal Bahadur Shastri. At that time, the party which dominated in India was National Congress Party. After Lal Bahadur Shastri died on January 11, 1966, the National Congress Party appointed Indira Gandhi to replace Lal Bahadur Shastri as Prime Minister and was installed on January 19, 1966. Indira Gandhi is the first woman in Indian history as Prime Minister after getting the independence from Britain 1947. And the last event was in 1997. Yasser Arafat returned to Hebron after more than 40 years and participated to celebrate handing over city in the West Bank, which was controlled by Israel. To establish Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, Yasser Arafat was willingly to leave moving from one country to another, such as in Jordan, Lebanon, and Tunisia. After 30-year moving in those countries, finally, on January 19, 1997, Yasser Arafat returned to Hebron. Tens of thousands of Palestinians welcomed him as heroes. An entire Hebron city was decorated with Palestinian flags and Yasser Arafat's photographs as leader of Palestine Liberation Organization. When delivering his speech, Yasser Arafat promised to work to gain his next goals, namely to control of the rest of West Bank, which was occupied by the Israeli, and establish an independent Palestinian state with its Jerusalem as its capital. Listener, that was Today in History, brought to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to daily segment of My Indonesia. Today's topic of My Indonesia is entitled Indonesia-China Continue to Establish Trade and Investment Relationship. 9 extraordinary and plenipotentiary ambassadors of friendly countries submitted credentials to the Indonesian President Joko Widodo in Jakarta on Wednesday, January 17. In addition, they also strengthened cooperation with Indonesia in various fields. Ambassador of Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary of People's Republic of China, Xiao Qian, stated that China will increase cooperation in the field of economy. The 9 ambassadors are from the Republic of Belarus: Valery Kolesnik, Ambassador of Vatican Archbishop Piero Pio, Ambassador of Palestine Uhair Alshum, and Ambassador of People's Republic of China to Indonesia Xiao Qian, and Ambassador of South Africa Hilton Fisher. After the credentials reception ceremony at the Presidential Palace Complex in Jakarta on Wednesday, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that besides trade, the tourism sector has also increased in the bilateral relationship.
Secara bilateral, misalnya di dalam perdagangan memang kemajuannya
bilaterally, trade sector is very big progress. Our trade figure with China has reached $466 billion in 2017. China is also the third largest investor to Indonesia, and the number of arrival of Chinese tourists have reached 2 million last year. Minister Retno Marsudi further said that China also appreciated Indonesia's leadership in the world peace. She said that President Joko Widodo emphasized the importance of mutually beneficial economic cooperation as the principles in bilateral relations. Meanwhile, with South African Ambassador Hilton Fisher, the President has discussed efforts to improve trade and investment cooperation as Africa is a priority of Indonesia's non-traditional market. Minister Retno Marsudi views that Indonesia's cooperation with Africa will be strengthened by implementing the Indonesia-Africa Forum in 2018. While with Germany Ambassador to Indonesia, Abdul Ghani Nasser Ali Al-Shamiri, the President discussed the cooperation of humanitarian aid by establishing mobile hospital. Listener, that was today's My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to attend ASEAN-India Summit, which will be held in New Delhi this month. During the summit, President Joko Widodo will take part in two sessions to discuss international issues. Indonesian President Joko Widodo asked the financial industry to keep improving the national economy in a bid to achieve the desired progress. At the Financial Service Industry Annual Meeting 2018 in Jakarta on Thursday, he affirmed that Indonesia's fiscal and monetary conditions are good, foreign exchange reserves increases to $130 billion. The Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Marine Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, leaves the use of cantrang or seine net policy to the Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujiastuti. Luhut Panjaitan, in Madiunis Java, Thursday, said that he encouraged the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries to formulate the size of the fishing nets cantrang, which may operate including for large ships. The Government of Indonesia, through the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, ESDM, is cooperating with the United States to increase energy cooperation. A meeting of both countries took place in Jakarta on Thursday and was attended by representatives of more than 50 American and Indonesian companies in the energy sector. A researcher of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Siti Zuhro, said that in the 2018 regional head election, the political parties appear to have difficulties in building coalitions and carrying candidates. Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti said that sinking illegal foreign ships that carry out fishing activities in Indonesian waters is a form of law enforcement that is stipulated in the national law. And the last item, BTourist is a tour operator community that works with Wonderful Indonesia and cooperates with the Ministry of Tourism to attract foreign tourists coming to Indonesia. And listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to South Kalimantan Province to introduce Petah Cake. Stay tuned. Listener, traveling to a certain area and visiting interesting tourism objects located in the area, it is not complete yet if you have not enjoyed the typical cuisine. For example, if you are traveling to South Kalimantan Province and visit the floating market object, Suriansyah Sultan Mosque, Kembang Island, Taman Siring, and other tourism objects, you must taste the typical food of South Kalimantan. Each area in South Kalimantan has its own typical food, such as Hulu Sungai Selatan area with dodol and ketupat kandangan, Barabai region with apam cake and kacang jarut, as well as Amuntai region with duck meat culinary, Martapura with klepon buntut, and Binuang region with processed banana called rimpi, soto banjar, sate itik, and yellow rice. Listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder introduces you the typical culinary in South Kalimantan, namely Petah Cake. The cake is also known as Petah Asia Cake, which is green and is usually served during Idul Fitri. Petah Cake, made of rice flour, pandanus water, and suji leaves and salt. All the dough are mixed and boiled while stirred up. After that, the dough is poured on a pan that has been smeared by oil and steamed to cook. Once cooked, the cake is cut thinly. Listener, Petah Cake is usually served with tahilala sauce, the coconut milk which is boiled with salt and pepper until thicky texture. Besides those with tahilala sauce, Petah Cake is also sprinkled with pepper powder and fried onions. The food is perfectly to eat with a cup of warm tea. When eaten, the texture of the typical South Kalimantan cake is so chewy and tasty. Listener, tahilala is also combined with boiling jaring. In South Kalimantan, jaring means jengkol. Usually, petah seller will also sell jaring with tahilala. Petah cake may only be found in the hometown, especially during the fasting months. During the fasting months, petah cake can be found every day at Wadai Market or Snacks Market in Banjarmasin. If you bring the cake home as souvenir, usually petah cake is packed separately with tahilala to keep it durable. The price is relatively affordable, around 10,000 to 15,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic petah cake. Tomorrow we will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Listener, as an archipelago country, Indonesia is rich in marine biodiversity and has a potency to increase the economy. But the fishermen's ability in marketing their fish catching has slowed the pace of the economy. Seeing this, students of Bogor Institute of Agriculture, Masyar Taufik of Fishery and Marine Science Faculty, and Faiz Ahmad Gozi of Farm Technology Faculty has an idea to build Android-based application called FINE, which stands for Fisherman Friend. The idea of creating FINE application started from the worries of the two students seeing the poor condition of the fishermen in Mamuju Regency, West Sulawesi, and the government's stagnant program. Mashar explained that FINE application is an Android-based application that was designed as a forum to meet the fishermen with investors to build partnership in Mamuju Regency, West Sulawesi province. In other words, this application is to ease the capital access and online fish product sales. The application involves fishermen, cooperative, investors, and consumer with the application system designed as good as possible so that everyone can experience the benefits of the application. Listener Mashar added, Mamuju Regency is chosen because it is situated directly with Makassar Strait, which is the largest fish supplier in West Sulawesi, such as tuna, cakalang, mackerel, kerapu, and kakap. Skipjack is actually the largest tuna species, but it is less benefited in the area because of lack of technology to catch the fish. FINE application, Mashar and his team has managed to receive an award as the second winner of the scientific research competition in PSP Berkarya 2017 organized by Riau University on November 6 to 8. Mashar hopes the application can also be implemented and get support from the government related to the partnership activities and marketing system. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany, entitled FINE Application to Digitally Sell Fish. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We meet again in another edition of Miscellany.
meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's series, we will present the songs of the people of Lampung. So stay with us at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, listeners, let's listen to the song entitled Changet Agung. Happy listening. Listeners, composed by Saiful Anwar, this song is a typical song of the people of Lampung. The lyrics of the song tell about the richness of customs and culture of Lampung that has existed since ancient times. And through the lyrics, this song invites young generation of Lampung to preserve the Lampung culture. The song Cangget Agung is usually sung during traditional wedding ceremonies and cagak pepandum or begawi events to get a traditional title. Cangget Agung in Lampung culture is also one of the traditional dances. This dance is usually performed by young Lampung ladies during Lampung traditional event. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Lipang Lipang Dang. Happy listening.
Gadiniku mune rasa lincah-lincahan. Muli meranai dasar lincah-lincahan.
The song Lipang Lipang Dang that you just heard was sung by Musli Hami, sung with joy. In fact, the lyrics of this song uses the old poetry language. The lyrics are the theme of love, which tells of a bachelor or a boy left behind by a lover. Usually, the song is sung during a custom or wedding ceremony. To end the regional song entitled Tanah Lado Sang by Andi Ahmad will be My Turn. Composed by Fat Sahbudin, the song Tanah Lado tells about the glories of Lampung in the past and how rich the culture of Lampung is. The song also revolves around black pepper as a mainstay Lampung product, which until now immortalized as one of the symbols of Lampung icons. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Tanah Lado. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Teladas Japalas munggah di bengkunan gunung rimba tiupu matang pulau-pulau di laut lepas Panjawa wardi Nusantara kami tuku salun jajabi kamu lampungku kamu lada merga Oh,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.